Good morning. Today we are back into Psalms, Psalm 15. I chose this psalm because this is the first chapter of the Bible that I have by hearted. Because my grandpa said he will reward me. So I chose this psalm. And before we go and read this psalm, I want to just remind you about the security of our salvation that is in the love of Christ. John 14, if you remember John 14, Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." Christ is going to come and take to the place where he is going to live. Our dwelling in heaven is only possible through Christ. We are saved by grace, not by faith. We are saved by grace through faith. It's not result of works. We cannot boast. But in the same chapter, John chapter 14, same chapter, 14:6, he says, so 14:15 he says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." The trademark of a Christian is not just those who believe in him, but those who love him. And those who love him, they obey his commandments. They keep his commandments. So those who are called Christian, those who profess Christians, should submit to him. Colossians 1:10, Paul prays like this, "So as to walk in the manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." We have to be Christians who are pleasing to God. That's what the prayer of Apostle Paul is. And that's what the psalmist is also aiming. So let's read Psalm together. Psalm 15, I'm reading from ESV. A Psalm of David. "O Lord, who shall sojourn in your tent? Who shall dwell on your holy hill? He who walks blamelessly and does what is right and speaks truth in his heart, who does not slander with his tongue and does no evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord, who swears to his own hurt and does not change, who does not put out his money at interest and does not take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved." If you observe clearly, the psalmist is not asking the way to heaven. He is not asking the way to salvation. But his question is, who? The person. Who is the person who indwells? Who is the person who worships the Lord? Who is a Christian? Who is the person? He is talking about the character. He is not talking about the way of the salvation. We are not going to be saved by our works. We are not saved by our righteous deeds. We are only saved by grace. But here psalmist is asking about the character of the one who dwells in the holy hill. This is the character of a Christian who pleases God. Today, from this psalm, we will see three routines of a Christian who pleases God. This is the character which pleases God. And today, if you are hearing this, see, if you are not obeying the Lord in these areas, I am not saying that you are not Christian. And I am also not saying you are Christian. Let's check. You know, if we love him, we keep his commandments. Because he helps us. 1 John chapter 4, he says, "His commandments are not burdensome." You know why? Because we love him, we want to be like him. We want to please him. That's why his commandments are not burdensome. It's like this. the tone of the message, I want you to understand the tone of the message. Like most of your parents, if your child lies, you won't say, you are a liar, you are not a part of a family, just leave the family. You won't say that, right? What do we teach? Hey, you know, family, we don't lie. We speak truth to one another. So this is the tone of the psalm. So he is seeking the character that pleases God. So three routines of a Christian who pleases God. And the first routine is that he seeks God first. He seeks God. So first verse, he says, O Lord, who shall sojourn in your tent? Who shall dwell on your holy hill? See, the question here is, he is asking who shall sojourn, who shall dwell, but why should someone sojourn in the tent? Why should someone dwell in the house of the Lord? Why? Unless he longs for it, unless he seeks for it. The psalmist is a king. He's not inquiring anything in his land, Israel, but he is inquiring God about his kingdom, God's kingdom. I want to be in your kingdom. So, how should I be? That's what David is seeking. He is seeking God. He is seeking God's approval. A true Christian who pleases God seeks God first. And what is he seeking? He says, sojourn in your tent. Tent means tabernacle. During the days of David, they don't have a temple. The temple was built by Solomon, the son of David. But they are worshipping God in the tent, tabernacle. So, David is asking, I want to be a worshipper, Lord. I want to be a worshipper of you. Psalm 132:7 says, let us go to his dwelling place. Let us worship at his footstool. This is the cry of every Christ-pleasing Christian, God-pleasing Christian. Psalm 99:5. Exalt the Lord our God. Worship at his footstool. Holy is he. This is a character of Christ-pleasing, God-pleasing Christian. And what is the second thing that the David is asking for? He's saying, who shall dwell on your holy hill? See, sojourn means as a guest, lodging for some time. Dwelling means inhabiting, settling down. And here, holy hill means Zion. Psalm 2, if you remember, Zion is called as holy hill, which is Jerusalem, where the temple of God is, where Christ is going to reign. So symbolically, where psalmist use holy hill as heaven, because Christ is going to reign. So he's asking, he want to be a citizen of heaven. Who is the one who dwells in your holy hill? I want to be citizen of heaven. When I was working in a youth ministry, we used to give gospel tracts. And then I was given few tracts so that I might share. The tract name is Then What. It goes like this, with cartoons and all. So two friends, they meet in a bus returning from their work, and then one friend realizes that he is his college mate and calls him, hey, hi, how are you? And he says, I'm fine. And he says, hey, I went to an interview. You guess what? I passed and I'm going to get this job. I'm going to join this job. And he says, that's good. This is the Christian who is replying, that's good. And then what? He asks. And he says, then what? I'll get a job and I'll look for a girl and I'll get married. And he says, that's wonderful. Then what? He says, I'm going to have children. And then I will raise them. And he says, that's good. Then what? He says, and then they'll grow up. And then I'll grow up. I'll be old. And then I'll retire. That's good. Then what? The Christian replies. And then he says, then what? I'll grow older and then I'll die. And the Christian answers, then what? He says, yeah, then what? And I was supposed to give this to another, but it struck me. What I'm living for on this earth, what I'm living for. We are not going to stay here on this earth. We are not citizens of Goa forever. We are citizens of heaven. What are we living for? If we are leaving Goa tomorrow, will we be buying a land today? I'm not saying don't buy lands. I'm just saying, will we invest all our energy, money, time in buying a land today if we are leaving tomorrow? We don't. We invest our energy packing things and to invest in the place where we are going. We are the people who are going to heaven. Where are we investing our time, resources, everything? Struck me. David is also a person who is looking to invest in kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. So he wants to be a worshiper. He wants to be a citizen of God. We should also be a Christian who pleases God by seeking God, seeking his kingdom. And the second routine is that he seeks godliness. See in verse 2 he says, he who walks blamelessly and does what is right. And from verse 2, verse 5, the last part, he goes on a list, which big list, which we, most of us, failed in most of the things. Praise Christ, because it is he who fulfilled all this in our place and then given his righteousness. But being Christians, we have to be like Christ. So he is seeking, David is seeking godliness. The same way we should also seek godliness. So what is he saying? In verse 2 he says, he who walks blamelessly and does what is right and speaks truth in his heart. In verse 2 we see three things he is talking about. One is blamelessness. Second is speaking truth in heart. And second is doing what is right. And third is speaking truth in his heart. Walk, work, and word. Consistency. First thing is he's talking about consistency. Blamelessness. Some translations are translated as integrity or honesty. This word in Hebrew means complete, whole, undivided. The same person. Are you the same person who you are in the church and in the place where you work? You're at home. Are you the same person? Are you the whole person, complete? We should be a whole person, complete person, undivided person, honest person. Honesty. That's what is aiming. Blamelessness does not mean sinlessness. Genesis 6:9, Noah was blameless in his generation. And 1 Kings 9:4, we see David was also called by God blameless because he submitted to Lord. So these are the people who failed in their lives. But why did God call them blameless? Because they are honest. Inside and out. In home and in church. At workplace, at home. They are the same. The reason why people are not honest, I myself, is fear of men, approval of men. And if I say that I failed, he might look me down. So I cover up things. I won't be honest. Honest person is very rare these days. One preacher said this. To be trusted is better compliment than to be loved. Honest person is trusted. And to be trusted is better compliment than to be loved. Consistency. We have to be a Christian who is consistent at home, at work, at church. Proverbs 2:7. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity. God is going to be your shield. Proverbs 10:9. Whoever walks in integrity walks securely. And the second act where he is consistent is his works. He works righteously. Does what is right. Righteousness means walking in submission to Lord. Doing what is right. 1 John 3:7, John says, little children, make sure that no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous. We have to do what is right. I was regularly irregular to my college during my college. Not PTS. I'm talking about my graduation. And then I failed. And I was doing some small jobs. But I was not serious about my life. And then my family wanted to take serious action. They stopped supporting me. And then I had to get a job, serious job. And that is the time God is also working in my heart. My friends already settled. They are working in some companies. And they said, we will refer you. No problem. And I didn't complete my graduation. I said, it's okay. Don't worry. I'm going to give you documents. You just apply. I struggled. That is the time I'm coming close to the Lord. And this is the temptation. I need a life. I have to stand on my feet. At the same time, if I am not a graduate, who will give me a job? And then I said, okay, friend, you say that I am not a graduate, I failed in my graduation. Just ask him, ask your manager. Only if he allows, I will work. And then he scolded me very badly, my friend. And then I said, okay, because you said I'm going to push your profile. And then he shared and then he pushed. And guess what? It is against the company terms. They actually hired me. They hired me. And I was really thankful to God because he blessed my honesty. It was shocking for him also, because they usually don't hire undergraduates. They hired. See, I was a recruiter, and it is for those who do MBA. And I was not even a graduate. And then they were gracious for me, and then I was able to finish my graduation during my work. Honesty is what God is seeking. If we submit to God, God is going to provide. We have to walk in righteousness. Yeah. Proverbs 3:32 says, for the devious person is an abomination to the Lord. But the upright are his confidence. We have the confidence of God. Proverbs 11:16. The righteousness of the upright delivers them. But the treacherous are taken captive by their lust. If I had given myself and then if I have submitted fake documents, I would have ended up in jail. Praise God. And words of truth in the heart. And the third thing to be consistent is words of truth in heart. It is very important to speak truth in heart. Romans 10:9. If we confess with our mouth, the lips saying, Jesus is Lord, is not enough. But you have to believe in your heart that Christ is raised from the dead. It matters. Speaking truth in our hearts. If we lie to our own selves, guess what? Our conscience will be seared. And then we will become more and more and more sinners. Luke 6:45, Jesus Christ said, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. The heart is the center for everything. Our character is defined by our own heart. It is very important to be true to our own selves. So, if we are to be godly, we have to be consistent in being honest, being righteous, and being speaking truth to our own selves in the heart. And the reward is from Christ. A reward is from Christ. We will be pleasing to Christ. End of the day, when you go to heaven, not end of the day, end of the life, when you go to heaven, we want to hear from Christ, good, well done, you good and faithful servant. That is what our aim is. And we are going to smell heaven to the people where we are living. This person is different. He is a Christian. So this is our aim, to please God. And second character of godliness is, he does not slander. He is caring Christian. He is a caring Christian that we see in verse 3. He says, who does not slander with his tongue? Even here also, we see three aspects of caring Christian. And the first aspect is, he does not slander. The word slander in Hebrew, it has a meaning, same meaning of feet. Means walking with tongue. This, the guy who slanders, he walks with his tongue. I mean, he acts like a spy, waiting for rumors to carry from here to there. If you talk about your brother behind their back, you are doing the ministry of Satan. But if you talk to God, you will do the ministry of God. Slander is speaking something against your brother there behind them. It's like stripping your brother. We don't strip our brothers. In our family, we don't strip. We stand. If someone is stripping, we stand. So, if someone is carrying some gossip, you can stop it by saying, I don't want to hear. If you heard, you pray to God. Let us pray. You can reply by this, by saying this. You pray to God. Don't slander. Don't gossip. It is the best response to do. Proverbs 16:28 says, a dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisper separates close friends. Slander separates close friends. 1 Peter 2, he says, so put away all malice, all deceit and hypocrisy, and envy, and all slander. Why? Verse 3, he says, if indeed you have tasted the Lord is good, you have tasted the Lord is good, why you have to speak against your brother? Put all malice, all slander away. Even if your brother had sinned against you, and you are tempted to speak to somebody, you know, it's better to forgive him and take to the Lord. Revenge is God. God will avenge. You forgive yourself. We have to forgive our enemies. Matthew chapter 5. Jesus said, you have to forgive your enemies. Vengeance is God's. Let us forgive. And the second aspect of a caring Christian is, he does not slander. Again, he does not do evil. He does not hurt. He does not do harm. In 1 Samuel 24, we see David has been chased by Saul to death. And you know what David does? Even when he gets the opportunity to kill Saul, he does not kill. He goes secretly. He cuts the end of his robe and shows to Saul, Saul, my father, see, I am innocent. I could have killed you. See this robe? This is from your robe. And I could have killed you, but I have no intention to kill the king whom God anointed. So I am innocent. He proves himself to be innocent, and Saul repents, and then he accepts him back. David is a man who does not do evil. Even when he was being chased by Saul, he is forgiving. He did not do evil to Saul. Christ himself, 1 Peter chapter 2, 23 says, he was reviled, but he did not revile in return, but he suffered. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. Christ, when he was slapped, he did not return. When he was being crucified, they are crucifying him, he did not pay them evil. He even prayed to God that God might forgive them. This is a caring Christian. A caring Christian does not do harm. He forgives. As a forgiven sinners, we ought to forgive. And the third aspect is, the third aspect of caring Christian is, he does not insult. Does not take a reproach against his friend. Speaking disgrace, slur, he does not insult. Jesus Christ, when his disciples failed, Peter failed, the one who said, "No, Lord, I am not going to leave you till death." And then he betrayed. If I was Jesus, I am not Jesus. If I am in the place of Jesus, I would say, "Peter, what did you do? What did you promise me? You said that you are going to be with me." We will definitely question. But Jesus did not insult him. He encouraged him. We don't insult our brothers. If someone is weak in the church, if you know someone weak, you don't have to insult them. Encourage them so that they might be more faithful to Christ. Proverbs 15:1 says, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stirs up anger." Ephesians 4:29, "Let no corruption talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up, and fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear." And verse 30 says, "And do not grieve Holy Spirit." If we are insulting our brother, we are grieving Holy Spirit. And the grieve, the word, this is the words used same in Matthew chapter 26 when Jesus was grieving in the Garden of Gethsemane. That's the weight of the sadness in God's heart. We don't insult our brothers in our family. This is a caring Christian. And the third aspect is, he's courageous. Third aspect of godliness is courageous. What's courageous? In whose eyes a vile person is despised. He hates the wicked. We are to hate the wicked. Here, wicked are those who are rejected by God, reprobate. We are to love our enemies, but we are not going to love God's enemies. There is a difference. We have our own enemies, we have God's enemies. We forgive the enemy, our enemies, our personal enemies, but towards the enemies of God, we submit them into the hands of God. You remember in Paul writing to Timothy, he talks about the coppersmith, the Alexander, who did much harm. God may repay him according to his evil deeds. He is the enemy of God because he was against the gospel. So what Paul did, he prayed that God might judge him. Even if you read Psalms, you see David praying for God to take vengeance. Those are the people who are enemies of God, not personal enemies. So, towards these wicked persons, we should not be encouraging them, encouraging their sins. We should actually stand against them. I remember one pastor sharing about the college, his church members, college students, when they newly joined a college, they were treated by the senior students. They took them and then they gave liquor, they give all liquor and the drugs and also filthy things. And then when they are invited, they went inside. They didn't know that before they entering. Praise God, they are a group, not single person. And you know what happened? After a few minutes, they all went out and then they came out and standed alone, and they are planning to go back to their rooms. And then the warden, the one who is organizing all things, he came out and he apologized, saying, "I am sorry I didn't realize that you are Christians. They did not think, are yaar, if I go out, people might get hurt. I am being rude. They didn't think like that. They just walked away from the room. We don't want any fellowship with these persons. And then guess, they came and asked forgiveness. We should be Christians who are against the wicked things. We should hate wicked. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Whom are we friends with? Where we hang out most time? Our relationships with the world should be evangelistic. Our relations should be evangelistic. If we are having fellowship with someone, we preach gospel. We try to bring them to the kingdom of heaven. We don't enter into their kingdom. We should limit our relationships. We should stand like Christian. And he does not only hate the wicked, he honors those who fear the Lord. Who fear the Lord? Christians. Christians are the ones who fear the Lord. And Romans 12:10 says, love one another with brotherly affection. Philippians 2:3, do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. We have to honor Christians. Whom do we honor today? Influential, rich. Do we honor people according to their standards of the earth, money, status, or do we honor according to godliness? Honoring poor is also not godliness. Honoring rich doesn't mean that you are not godly. Honoring godly people is important. Honoring godly people is important. We should honor godly. Doesn't matter whether rich or poor, influential or not influential. We should honor godly people. Mostly poor honor rich people. Not godly. We should honor godly people. And the third aspect is, he honors those who fear the Lord, who swears to his own hurt and does not change. He holds to his own oath. He holds to his oath. Earlier days, this is different. If someone oaths, it's a bond. Now, if you say, I swear I'll give back your money, no one is going to listen. We have to sign in many documents, right? In the olden days, not olden days, recently also, in the courts we have oath. We oath, I promise on the Holy Bible and speak the truth, whole truth. But now we have lie detectors. Earlier they believed on the promises. Now we have lie detectors because no one is trustworthy. No one is holding their promises. Matthew chapter 5 verse 37. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than that, this comes from evil. This is Jesus Christ who said. We being Christians should be a Christians who stands on his own word. And he swears to his own hurt and does not change. Who does not put his money at interest? Which means he helps the poor. He helps the poor. Giving money to interest in the Old Testament, it was quoted in Exodus chapter 23. You shall not take a bribe. Exodus chapter 22-25. If you lend money to any of the people with you who is poor, you shall not be like money lender to him, and you shall not exact interest from him. The context of lending money is helping the poor, not to take money from them and you become rich, not to be greedy, but to help them. See, the psalmist is not going somewhere. He is going to the Old Testament. All these characteristics are mentioned in the Old Testament. He is drawing out from the law. So he is reminding again, saying, we should not give money, lend money, so that we might be rich, but to help the poor. And he says, and does not take a bribe against the innocent. Nehemiah chapter 5, you see, when all Israel returned to Jerusalem from the exile, those who are staying there, you know what they did? Because these exiles are coming from Babylon, and since they don't have money, they were looking for money. And what these people did? Okay, take 10,000, give me back 20,000. Take 5,000, give me back 10,000. So they lended money. And then in chapter 5, there was an outcry because they were not able to repay the money. And these money lenders, what they did? They grabbed their families, their children, so that they might work for them. They are again making their own family members as slaves. And Nehemiah gets really angry. And then he says, in Nehemiah chapter 5, verse 9, the thing that you are doing is not good. Aren't you not to walk in the fear of God? He reminds them that we have to walk in the fear of God. He got really angry. He reminded them that we are to help our brothers so that they might live, not that you might become rich. Even if your financial transactions, if you are lending money, it's better not to give, but if you are giving, don't count it. If something is going out, don't expect it back to come. That's a better thing. And 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 10 says, love of money is root of all evil. People first and then money. And if you do all this, if you are consistent in your character, if you are a caring Christian, and if you are a courageous Christian, you will be a Christ-pleasing, a God-pleasing Christian. And one preacher says like this, a person who lives right and is right has more power in his silence than any other has by words. Character is like bells, which ring out sweet notes, and which when touched accidentally even, sounds sweet music. If you are living as a Christian who is seeking godliness, who is consistent in his character, who is caring in his character, who is courageous in his character, you will sound a sweet music to this world. You will smell heaven to them. These small changes in our lives, becoming more like Christ, will help the world realize how sinful they are and how glorious Christ is. And the third routine of this Christian who pleases God is, he seeks reward from God. The final part of the verse, the chapter says, he who does these things shall never be moved. He shall never be moved. Our dwelling in Christ, our dwelling in heaven, will never be moved. And we never have to search for another house. We have our Father's house. Our dwelling in God's house is stable. We all have to run for the prize. We who are Christians are saved by grace and salvation is secure, but rewards are different. Our rewards will vary. According to our deeds, Christ is going to reward us. What is the reward that we are going to receive from the Lord? He says, he shall never be moved. Stability. Are you a Christian who is unstable? I struggled in the early years a lot. Very simple. Obey the Lord. You will be stable. Psalm 1:3, he talks of, he illustrates with a tree planted by the banks of the river. Try to shake the tree. It can't. Jesus Christ gives an illustration in Matthew chapter 7. The house built on the rock, which shall never be moved. Therefore, brothers, be all more diligent. This is Peter who is talking. Be all more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you practice this thing, these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you are a Christian who is seeking God, who is seeking godliness, who is seeking God's reward, your entrance in heaven is for sure. And your rewards will be from Christ. So, 2 Corinthians 5:9, according to 2 Corinthians 5:9, so whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. We live to please Him. We will be a Christian who pleases Christ. We'll close in prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for the salvation that you have bought on the cross. Father, thank you for the love. Thank you, Lord, for the security of salvation that you have given us. Father, now I pray for Cornerstone and for my own self that we will be Christians who are pleasing to you. I pray that we will be a Christians who will smell heaven to this world. I pray for each one of us here, including me, that we will be Christian who will seek you, Lord, who will seek godliness, who will seek reward from you, approval from you, Lord. I pray that we will dig the word and seek you, Lord, knowing that you are a person whom we can seek and meet. I submit Cornerstone and myself into your hands. In Christ Jesus' name I pray. Amen.